first epistle of Peter, beginning with the fourth verse, the fourth chapter and the 12th verse. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, a criminal, or even as a mischief maker. Yet if any of you suffers as a Christian, do not consider it a disgrace, but glorify God because you bear this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. If it begins with us, what will be the end for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinners? Therefore, let those suffering in accordance with God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good. Now, as an elder myself and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you to tend the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising the oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will win the crown of glory that never fades. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. A reading from the gospel according to John from the 17th chapter, beginning with the first verse. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. And verse 20. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let me tell you something. I was enjoying hearing little Colin sing with y'all on this side. She was in the beat. She had everything right, but her hands weren't quite clapping with the beat yet. But she'll get that eventually. I could hear her just talking with y'all. And that was all right. Now, I'm going to read you something. And I think that if I were to intentionally bomb it, it would be a better sermon illustration. But if I intentionally bomb it, you won't laugh. And then that will make me feel like I didn't do a great job telling the joke. And as 1 Peter made me think about this week, sometimes I'm a little too proud of my oratory skills. Did you hear him speak to us about humility? Oh, we don't like that word. We'll get to that next. But I want you to hear a story. There was once a lion who was proud of his supposed mastery of the animal kingdom. He proudly and confidently goes to the bear. "Who is the king of the jungle?" the lion asked. The bear started trembling and replied, "You are, of course, Mr. Lion." The lion then gave a mighty roar of approval. And don't you just know he was proud? Next, he asked the tiger, "Who is the king of the jungle?" The tiger quickly replied, "Everyone knows that you are, O great lion." Once again, the lion roared with pride. Next on the list was the elephant. The lion boldly faced the elephant and addressed his question, "Who is the king of the jungle?" The elephant immediately grabbed the lion with his trunk, whirled him in the air, slammed him into a tree. Then he pounded him into the ground several times, dunked him in water in a nearby watering hole, and finally threw him onto the shore. The lion, bruised and beaten, struggled to his feet. He looked at the elephant and said, "Hey, just because you don't know the answer, you don't have to get so angry about it." That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Listen, I got to tell you, I've been that lion in that elephant's trunk. Any of y'all been that lion in that elephant's trunk? Oh, I'm the best there is. And then you run into something that humbles you. Doesn't life have a way of putting you in the middle of the road and hitting you with a truck? I had a thing happen to me one time in architectural school. My design was horrible. And it was the first one that had really been horrible. And it was horrible because I just didn't like the project. But I did what I could with it, and it was bad. And in hindsight, it was really bad. But they made us get up and talk about it as if it was good, to tell them what we had done. Even my model was ugly, y'all. The drawings were pretty, but the design was just horrible. And I got up there and I talked about it as if it would be the most blessed place in the world to ever live in an apartment. And this little guy named Peter Lee, who was a graduate professor at Clemson University, ran over me with that pickup truck I was talking about. And I will never forget it. It humbled me. What I should have done is had humility enough to get up and say, I struggled with this project. I lost interest in it, and what's in front of you is the best I could do at that point. Right? I should have let somebody there bear my burden to tell me what I could have done differently. But oh no, I was going to cut off any possibility of correction by making sure that everybody there knew that I had done the best project on this project. And I was actually kind of ashamed to see my model on the benches with the other people's models. It was bad. I didn't get a good grade on that one. I'll tell you another story that kind of gets to the heart of this. After resigning to go to another church, a pastor was approached by an endearing older member of the congregation. She wept over the pastor's decision to leave and said, "Things will never be the same." The minister tried to console her by saying, "Don't worry, I'm confident you will be sent a new pastor who is better than me." Y'all think he really believed that? I don't either. She continued to sob and said, "Well, that's what the last three pastors said." Did you hear Peter tell me to serve you all in humility? To understand who I am, to understand my own weakness, not to lord it over you, but to join you in ministry. Did you hear him say that? Did you hear him say to you that you can cast all of your cares, all of your anxiety on the risen Christ, on the Lord God Almighty? Did you hear him say that God is actually interested in you putting that thing on him that keeps you awake at night? Did you hear that? Let me tell you, if you think you're the king of the jungle, you don't think you need to do that, do you? If you think that you can handle all your problems, I promise you this, there isn't an awakening coming for you. If you think that you can stand in the middle of whatever fiery trial that you are going through right now, and that you can face that by pulling up your bootstraps, let me tell you, the roaring lion has already eaten your boots. The devil has you convinced that you can save yourself, and you can't. The devil might have you convinced that you can stand against whatever problem you're having, whatever anxiety that holds your whole heart in its grasp and would squeeze and steal the very life of you. You will not get yourself out of that on your own. You can stand in front of that like some obnoxious little proud architecture student and talk a good game. But Peter Lee's going to run over you when he starts giving you a crit. Life will take you out if you walk through it proud and thinking that you can handle everything in this world on your own. You can't. Last week, I let y'all talk to each other before the service. Y'all remember how fun that was? It was fun, wasn't it? I wanted you to see that you're not alone. Very often we come here and we sit in the pew and we face forward and we feel like church today is me and the preacher. And what's this preacher going to say that I can take home with me this week? What's going to happen here? But do you know one of the most beautiful things that happens when the people of God get together to worship is we are reminded that Jesus prayed for us to be one. Did you hear him say it? Oh, it's not just for the 12 that were in the room with him, he said. It's for everyone who will believe in me because of their words. He prayed for us that we would be joined together so that we could bear one another's burdens up, so that we could lay down all of our stupid pride and let the people of the church help us to survive life in this world. Oh, but people say, I can't tell anybody what's happening to me because nobody will understand. That's hogwash. Everybody in this room has been through something horrible. Any of y'all had a perfect life? I got a trophy for it if you want it. All of us have been through things that humbled us and broke us down and showed us exactly how much we are in need of someone to lift us up and restore us and renew us and give us hope. Because we learned that our hope was not in ourselves, that we fail ourselves over and over and over and over and over. Despite our best intentions, we go back to whatever it is that's causing our anxiety in the first place. We go for a walk to try to relax, and the first thing we start thinking about is that moment when the lion had us in his mouth. And we rework whatever got us there in our minds all over again. Because we're anxious. Because sin does that to us. Sin and death make us anxious about every moment of our life. And even our life together. Right now in our church, people are fighting and struggling and arguing and jockeying for position and power and saying mean things about each other and all of this crazy stuff when our Lord was calling for us to have enough sense to pray that we might be able to stay and live as one together. But it's hard. Because in order to look at another person in life and to love that person, I have to be willing to let that person love me. And to admit that I need other people to love me. I have to be humble. Now that doesn't mean that there's not ever any reason for churches to split, because sometimes there truly are. But right now in the midst of this season that we're in, we should be casting our anxieties on God, not on pundits or YouTube experts, and leaning on the Spirit to lead us. This is in no way different than your individual life. The church together has anxiety about how we live in the world. I've never served a church that at some point they didn't say to me, how do we attract young people? Y'all ever heard a church member ask that? The answer is you don't. You go get them. And you know what happens to people when you tell them you go get them? They become anxious. Oh, you mean I have to talk to people about Jesus? That's what Jesus said. You will be my witnesses. We have all of these anxieties from our personal lives, from our personal problems, to problems that a congregation faces, to problems that a denomination faces, to problems that a nation faces, to problems that a state faces. Even our own community, where we look around and we see empty buildings and houses that are falling in, we might wonder, how long, oh Lord, how long until we're renewed? And we become anxious. And when we become anxious, we become short-tempered with one another, and we actually start breaking down the relationship of love that binds us together. And that, dear ones, is how that roaring lion tears us apart. Our anxieties cause us not to trust one another, not to love one another, or even not to love ourselves. What can we do? Peter gives us sound advice. Listen to it. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Let me ask y'all, is God trustworthy? You've had this experience in your life? Then it shouldn't be all that hard to humble yourself under God's hand if you trust God, should it? Listen to what he says. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might lift you up in due time. Meaning God will lift you up. Whatever is causing your anxieties will not always be the case of your life. And then listen to this one. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. What is the opposite of being humble? Anybody know? I said it a little while ago. Go, you raised your hand. What is it? Oh, you just quit with that hand, aren't you? Huh? Proud, being proud, prideful. Do you know that in your Bible it says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall? Did y'all know that? That's Proverbs 16, 18. I hate that verse of the Bible sometimes. I want to be proud. But you know what I'm hearing here? You know what I'm hearing from Peter? If I'm proud, then I'm preventing God being at work in my life. It's when I'm humbled before God and I cast my anxieties on God that God can work in me and perfect me and conform me to the image of Christ. But until then, I'm going at it on my own. And the definition of pride is keeping your anxieties to yourself and saying, I can win the battle. How y'all think that's going to turn out? Alistair Begg, he's a preacher with a weird accent. I don't know where he's from. I showed the confirmation kids this video where he talks about the thief on the middle cross when he got to heaven. He said, I want to find that man that was on the middle cross. I want to talk to him and say, what was that like, or how did you get here? And he said that the thing to remember about the gospel is it can never begin with I. He said when I asked that, you know, that guy on the middle cross when he got to heaven, that someone said, how did you get here? He said, I have no idea. Well, why are you here? He said, because the man on the middle cross told me I could come. The middle cross, the man on it begins with the third person. The gospel is about the third person. It's not about what I can do. It's not about me laying down my anxieties. It's not about me solving all of my problems. The gospel doesn't tell me that I can become a moral person on my own and save myself. The gospel tells me that Jesus has done that already for me and that I can cast my anxieties on Him. But if I hold on to my anxieties, I am in effect saying that I can handle it alone. Well, if I can handle it alone, there was no need for God to die for me, was there, church? If I can solve the problem that sin and death causes in my life, the anxiety, and everything we do in this life that poisons us and destroys our relationships, we do in reaction to sin and death. To try to preserve ourselves no matter what. To preserve our place, our position, our want to be number one, our want to be the number one person in everybody's life, our want to be most important, our want to have accolades and affirmation, and all of this stuff creates anxieties in us that can be taken away if we will understand that our place is under the mighty hand of God. And not to rule our own lives. So Peter says, be humble. If you're facing a fiery trial, you don't have to work it out yourself. Be humble. Trust yourself into God's hands and cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Do you believe that He cares for you? And why are you holding so tightly to the things that destroy you? Can you not today choose to cast those cares on the one who stands by you no matter what? He will never leave you or forsake you. There's nothing that you can do that will cause Him to give up on you or to stop loving you. But the only way for contentment in this life, it's humility that comes with having given our cares to God. It's pride that causes us to keep our cares for ourselves to solve. But humility is the act of giving our cares to God. Dear ones, I hope that sticks with you today. And that as you go through this week and the weeks ahead, that you will take Paul's advice from Philippians 4. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer, by earnestly asking with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Peter would add, in due time, you will be lifted up. Give God whatever anxieties are terrorizing you, dear ones. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.